Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that in your mercy you have preserved for us the words and teachings of Jesus. And we pray that as we turn to some of them this morning, you would open our hearts afresh, that we might be strengthened and equipped. And we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, it was an ordinary street in an ordinary town, and the bells had just struck midnight on the parish church clock. Now, most people were in bed, including a regular family at number 27. Now, suddenly, their neighbour from number 29 arrived at the front door. "Let me in. I need some food for my guests who have been delayed on their trip and they've just arrived. And what's more, the co-op is closed." Well, the family upstairs in bed hear what's being said, but given how late it is, they decide to ignore their neighbour and pretend they just haven't heard. The neighbour rings again. "Open up! I need some food!" Well, the family realise that they can't pretend all night, so the dad shouts back, "Don't bother us! We're all locked up now! Just go away!" But the neighbour rang the bell again. "Let me in and give me some bread!" Well, the reply from upstairs came back, "Go away. It's the middle of the night. We're all in bed, including the children. We are not getting up to give you any food." But the neighbour tried yet again and rang. "Oh, come on. We need something to give our guests. Get up and give us something from your kitchen." Well, eventually, the man got up and went to the door. "You've got a nerve," he said. "You're shameless coming here in the middle of the night and knocking us up. Have your wretched bread. But understand this, I'm not giving it you because you're our neighbour, we even thought was a friend, but because I want to get you off our backs. There. Now, leave us to sleep." And the neighbour went off next door with his bread. Now, if you were listening to our gospel reading, and I'm sure you were, you might realise that that is an attempt to retell the story that Jesus told in Luke's gospel chapter 11. It's on page 1047. Over recent weeks here at All Saints, we've been looking at some of Jesus's parables, his stories with a meaning. But what on earth is the meaning of this parable? Well, we know that Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem for the most important part of his life, his death on the cross and his resurrection. Jesus has just had some quiet time to pray. And when he'd finished, we read in chapter 11, verse 1, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Of course, the very familiar words of the Lord's Prayer. And in that prayer, Jesus gives us something of a pattern that we can use in our prayers. So we begin remembering that we are talking to our Heavenly Father. We can ask that his loving kingdom rule comes more fully, that he gives us what we need, that he forgives our sins, and that we're protected in spiritual danger. And it's then that Jesus tells us his story. Clearly, his story of the man knocking on the friend's door at midnight is to teach us something about prayer. Something about approaching God and talking with him. Indeed, it is a story that is given to us to encourage us in our prayer to God. Now, in Jesus' stories, his parables, different characters often point to different things or different people or indeed to God himself. So how are we to understand this particular story? Well, key in understanding it is to recognise that it is an example of a contrast. If a neighbour who is thinking about himself first and foremost and his desire to sleep and be undisturbed at night, if even he eventually gives what the man next door asks for, bread, and he gives it because he kept asking for it, how much more can we be sure that God, our loving Heavenly Father, will answer our prayers? See, the parable reminds us that through believing in Jesus, we are made God's children, and God is our Father. He, unlike the grumpy man, is full of love and concern for us. He loves to hear our prayers, and he loves to answer them. Now, some of us here are fathers or parents, and all of us have or have had fathers and parents. And so we can understand the way that Jesus makes God known as Father in heaven, as the Lord's Prayer begins. Now, I, as a father, may not always be perfect, indeed far from it, and you may not have had a perfect father, but we can all understand what a good father should be like. And God is the very best of fathers. And this is what Jesus goes on to say after he'd completed his story. Verse 11. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? See, God is the ultimate good Father. He won't give us bad things if we ask for good things, a poisonous snake or scorpion if we ask for food. So even we weak, broken, evil, imperfect human fathers and parents wouldn't do that. How much more then can we be sure that God is good and loving as the perfect Father in heaven? How much more can we be sure that God will listen to our prayers because of Jesus and answer them? As Jesus says in verse 13, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? God will answer our prayers, even giving us himself in the person of his Spirit to be with us and strengthen us and encourage us. Jesus' parable of the friend at midnight encourages us to pray to our Father in heaven, because through Jesus he is not like the grumpy man in bed, but rather because he willingly hears our prayers. And there's another important truth about prayer that we learn as well. What was it that made the irritable man in bed with his family eventually give his neighbour the bread that he asked for? We read verse 8, I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence he will rise and give him whatever he asks. The man just kept on asking. He was bold, persistent, unashamed, downright cheeky, you might say, in keeping on ringing the bell. In our retelling, we had the man in bed say to his neighbour, you've got a nerve, you're shameless. And that's pretty much what the original word says. You're shameless coming here in the middle of the night and knocking us up. So Jesus' story is a reminder that praying to God involves keeping at it, persisting, keeping praying, even if our prayers don't seem to get answered straight away. God is our loving Father, so we don't need to nag him. He longs to hear our prayers and answers, but we do need to keep going. And what Jesus says after the parable underlines that. verse 9. And I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. So Jesus says in three different words, keep on praying. And he gives us, if you like, six promises that God will hear our prayers and answer them. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking, Jesus is saying. Persist in making your requests to God. Continue to look to God for help. Carry on knocking on God's door. And then there are the great promises. It will be given. You will find. The door will be opened. You will receive. You will find. You will have the door opened. Now God is our Father. And he always answers prayers, even if it's not in our preferred timescale or in the way that we had expected. And so often we need to keep on asking because we learn that way to keep looking to God for his love and encouragement, to keep in mind his promises, and then to recognize that it is him who has answered us. And so God gets more of the credit that he deserves. But what do we need to keep on asking about and for? Well, it surely includes what the Lord's Prayer teaches us to pray for. That God's loving kingdom rule would grow. That our friends and family and neighbours might hear about Jesus and believe in him. That the good news might spread throughout the world to every tribe and nation, as we sang a few minutes ago. That people would recognise that it is God's world and see more of his greatness and love, and so work for peace and stewardship of the earth and the working out of God's truth in lives and society. And also that God would give us and others what we need, our daily bread. That we would be forgiven our sins and be able to serve Jesus in our lives, in our work and in our community and families. And that God would protect us and other people. And many other things too. Now, over the years, I've tried to help myself to keep on praying by having lists to pray through and a bit of a diary, if you like, to remind me to keep on praying for people and situations. And hearing Jesus' story again has inspired me to review that as an aid and to keep on praying, to keep on asking. So Jesus' story of the shamelessly persistent man reminds us that if even someone like that grumpy neighbour gave in when someone kept asking him for things, how much more can we be sure that God, our loving Heavenly Father, will answer our prayers? And because we know that he is loving and good, we'll keep on asking, knowing that because of Jesus, he hears us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great love, that you are indeed our loving Heavenly Father. We thank you that you have given us access into your presence because of Jesus, boldness to enter your presence. And we ask that you would strengthen us by your Spirit, that we might pray and put our confidence in you, that indeed you would answer our prayers. And we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.